Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Lucy Hickmott.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a lovely bank holiday weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, the 28th of May. Our top story, a Whitstable woman is refusing to pay her housing estate service charge despite being threatened with legal action. Christine Curtis has been withholding the charge for 4 years because of a lack of maintenance and repairs. Lauren joins me on the podcast with more details. So Lauren, what sort of problems has she noticed?
Well, Christine says her particular concern is with a play park on the Owes estate, which has been neglected. She's been collecting a portfolio of photographic evidence since 2020, which shows overgrown foliage, a broken bin and mould on children's play equipment. When Kent Online visited the site, we find rusty nails and splintering wood on a climbing frame. On the other side of the estate is another playground, which has been cordoned off as it has cracked safety surfacing and broken apparatus. The gate has been padlocked shut and has a no entry sign.
So how much are residents having to pay for the service charge?
Well, a letter's been sent out by Anthem Management, formerly Fell Reynolds, which stated the total amount for the estate will be nearly £18,000 for the next financial year. That works out at around £216 per household, a rise of 27% from last year's figure. Christine, who works as a nurse at Whitstable and Tankerton Hospital, says she's refusing to pay as no work's being carried out. She's received payment demands from solicitors, but insists she won't give them any cash up front.
And has the company responded to her concerns?
Yes, we've seen an email from Anthem Management, which admits play park maintenance has not been up to scratch in past years. It goes on to say, "We are now trying to bring matters up to speed, but that does involve having to raise funds. I'm sorry this is the case, and for us to have an action plan, we do need to ask you to pay your dues." A spokesperson also told us they're committed to providing services at the highest level, which relies entirely on people paying their contribution to the service charge.
Thanks, Lauren.
Kent Online reports.
A man's appeared in court and admitted indecently exposing himself to two schoolgirls in Tunbridge. Daniel Wood was wearing a pink tutu when he targeted the children as they walked home. He did the same thing to two women in separate cases that were reported to the police. The 32-year-old from Baltic Road is due to be sentenced next month. A professional horse rider from Kent has died after falling off during an event in Devon. 37-year-old Georgie Campbell was competing in a cross-country race at the Bicton International Horse Trials. Her horse Global Quest was uninjured. A cockapoo's had to have its leg amputated after being attacked in Ashford by what's thought to be an XL bully. The dog is understood to have slipped its lead and muzzle before dragging the one-year-old pet into the road near Victoria Park. It's now been seized by police and investigations are continuing. 8 chicks have died near Canterbury after a roadworks notice was posted into a letterbox. Despite clear warnings, the birds were nesting inside. Residents in Staple taped up the letterbox slot and wrote birds nesting so post would be left elsewhere. But a council worker delivered a notice about drainage works which blocked the mother from feeding her young. Lindsay Gorham was trying to keep them safe.
We discovered the nest by accident, opening up the letterbox to see if we got any letters, and discovered the nest with about 8 little lovely little eggs in there. So we left it alone. We went back a few days after and she was actually sitting on the eggs, so that was a good sign. So we just left her to it, didn't want to keep disturbing her. Our neighbour who actually lives here could see it from his house, so he was keeping their eye on him, going backwards and forwards, and we'd actually seen her when we were down here a few times. And then all of a sudden Bill said that he hadn't seen her going backwards and forwards, so we thought they'd either left the nest. So we left her for a couple of days just to make doubly sure for the time span, and then when we did open it up, that's when we found the letter laying across the nest. And it's obvious from the letter that she'd been trying desperately to get it off of the baby so she could feed them, which she couldn't do because she'd have to stand on the letter while trying to flick it over. And she obviously gave up and left them and they died.
And what was your reaction to this?
Absolutely so sad, because the nest must have taken a weeks to make. It was absolutely beautiful, all moss, the nest was to one side, and the eggs were beautiful, and it was a great tit. So it was nice to think, there's going to be some more nice little hedgerow birds. And it was just so sad. It was just so unnecessary that that should happen.
And what would you urge not only this KCC worker, KCC, but other people to do?
Well, it was a nesting season anyway. So we didn't just leave the post box. We taped up the actual letterbox flap. We wrote on it, "Birds nesting!" exclamation mark. And above that was a little tiny hole, and that's where she'd been getting in and out of. So obviously we left that because we needed her to keep going in and out. So we couldn't have made it any clearer. So just have a look, stop and look, and think, they've obviously written that on there and taped up their post flap to stop anything going in. The postman, he was good with it straight away, and he took our letters down to Bill, so he knew. And then the irony of it is, when you look at the letter that killed these birds, it wasn't even for this area, it was for about 15 mile away. So that makes it even more sad that it needn't have gone in there at all.
Kent County Council have apologised and say it was a genuine mistake.
Kent Online News.
A 26-year-old man's been arrested following reports several women were sexually assaulted in bars in Folkestone. The suspect is also thought to have indecently exposed himself on Tontine Street on Saturday night. Officers are urging any more victims or witnesses to come forward. Police have seized an axe and a table leg following reports of a gang armed with weapons in Maidstone. People wearing balaclavas were apparently seen going into a house on Tunbridge Road on Saturday night. Armed police, dog handlers and a search helicopter were called to the scene, but no suspects were found. Now, Kent's been described as one of the most high-risk areas in the UK when it comes to extremism. Anti-terror expert Nick Wilkinson says our position on the front line of the asylum crisis has led to a rise in far-right views. Children as young as 7 are among those being referred to a prevent team for suspected radicalisation. A Kent farmer says more and more landowners are having to sell to developers as the industry's in decline. Climate change, lack of seasonal workers after Brexit, and low supermarket prices are said to be driving farmers away. James Smith runs a business growing fruit near Maidstone.
We've got some of the highest energy rates in Europe. And so the way I see it is that being a fruit grower, if I've managed to produce a crop, if the weather has allowed us to produce a crop, I don't know if I can pick it because I can't get the labour and often can't afford the labour. If I do manage to do all of those bits and I get it picked, I can't really afford to switch my cold stores on, which enables me to keep the crop before it's graded and packed and goes off for sale. And if I do manage to do all of those things against all the odds, I'm pretty confident that the supermarkets won't pay a profitable price. So The reality is that many growers are just exiting the industry, which I think is bad news for the growers, but it's also bad news for the UK consumer as we see food production start to leave the UK. I know a lot of growers who have stopped. The economics just don't really stack up, and you're in danger of losing your farm and because you'll be borrowing money from the bank. Some farmers I know are going into things like solar deals because it's just a guaranteed income. They can put aside a portion of their land for a guaranteed income for the next 40 years, and it helps de-risk their business. And they are probably still continuing to farm on the side, knowing that they are more able to pay the bills. Then there are other people that are just looking to exit. And if they happen to have a lot of land on the side of some urban areas, the sums of money that are paid for development land are eye-watering. And you can go from being a seven-day-a-week, hard-working penniless farmer to a multi-millionaire overnight. And absolutely, why not? I think you can sort of see it as winning the lottery in some ways.
He's calling for more support from whoever wins the general election. There are concerns about a rise in antisocial behaviour from teenagers in Cranbrook. Shoplifters are said to be taunting members of staff. Young people are also verbally abusing residents in the street and egging houses. The parish council say they're doing what they can to support police in tackling the issue. It's unclear whether air displays in Folkestone and Headcorn will go ahead this summer following the death of a Spitfire pilot in Lincolnshire. The RAF have temporarily grounded their Battle of Britain Memorial Flight display team, and investigations continuing into the crash, which killed squadron leader Mark Long on Saturday.
Kent Online reports.
Bosses at a pub on Romney Marsh have been told they still need to make improvements after evidence of pests. Inspectors found mouse droppings in kitchen cupboards when they visited the Woolpack Inn in February. A follow-up last month found there are still possible entry points for rodents. It's now been given a 3-star rating, which is considered generally satisfactory. A Gravesend taxi driver who's been left unable to work due to new DBS checks says he's no longer able to support his family. Kaneshka Maredi would send his earnings to his daughter in Afghanistan. He's been speaking to our reporter Davina Jethwa.
It was on the 14th of November last year, 2023. I applied for the DBS as a part of the application form. And I had about 2 weeks for them to issue it for me. Not only it didn't happen, it took about 6 months so far. And now it is, it has been, I think, over 6 months now. That I'm still waiting, despite the repeated application. They still tell me that they've got too much backlog. They can't issue it. It's gonna happen anytime soon. They prioritize it, they told me a few times, but I'm still waiting. I did get in touch with the council. They said that they haven't got anything to do with them, basically they are not dealing with it. So it is the police, and when I talk to them on the phone, they usually refer me to go online, and when I go online I have to call them, and you know, even to the police station I went a few times, and basically I'm waiting.
Can you tell us a bit about why you need the money?
First of all, I need it for my daily use and my livelihood, my life. Apart from that, I've got families back home. I look after people after the takeover of the Taliban. There is no business, there is nothing going on in the country, basically it is. I have to look after a few families, basically as many people as I can look after, I just try. My family, my sister's family, and we have got lots of kids and them, basically, I just have to look after. So.
And can you talk a bit about the worry that you have?
Of course, I'm worried. First of all, I haven't got my daily routine, and I have got worries there with the bank. I've got loans and all of the other expenses. Even for the car insurance, I still have to pay in order to keep it. Going otherwise, if it's cancelled, if they cancel it, I wouldn't be able to get another insurance. It's quite expensive to pay for the taxi insurance. And I had the hope that it's gonna happen today, tomorrow, you know. So it lingers along about over 6 months now. My daughter, she's in Afghanistan. I'm worried about her because she's getting older. She's going to school now. Soon the Taliban wouldn't allow her to go to school as a part of their policy, whatever it is. And I'm worried about her, basically. Try to get in touch with her as much as I can. But I think it's getting... not having enough money, obviously, even talking to my daughter is going to be more difficult.
A spokesperson for the Disclosure and Barring Service says the average turnaround time for a DBS check is around 13 days, but there are some delays due to extra demand and resource shortages.
Kent Online News.
A seaside carousel on the Kent coast has been forced to close following reports it partially collapsed while people were on it. Panels are thought to have come loose on the ride at Folkestone Harbour Arm over the bank holiday weekend. Inspectors are looking into what caused it. Residents in part of Medway are calling for a more reliable bus service as hundreds more houses are being built in the area. Arriva's 133 service to Chatham is the only route regularly running from Cliffwoods and Cliff. A petition's been set up as villagers say one bus an hour isn't enough. Several Kent hospitals will be among the first to roll out Martha's Rule, which allows patients and families to get a second opinion if they're worried about a condition getting worse. It's named after a 13-year-old girl who died from sepsis. Darrant Valley, Medway Maritime and Maidstone Hospital are on a list of 143 sites where it'll come into force, along with the QEQM in Margate, Ashford's William Harvey and the Tunbridge Wells Hospital. A former butcher's shop in Deal is set to become a fishmonger's and street food bar. JC Rook and Sons closed its unit on the high street after falling into administration 2 years ago. It's now being taken over by Jenkins and Son. Sasha Taylor is their marketing manager.
We've been here forever, since Darren started working as a fishmonger when he was 14. The company's been running since 1940. It's obviously gone through some changes and upgraded, and now we do additional stuff other than just fresh, wet fish. But we have outgrown this shop particularly because we now do home-cooked chef food, so we heat and eat and take away. We also do lots of fresh food like crab and lobster baguettes, we do seafood platters, we do chopped oysters, we do all sorts of stuff like that. Excuse me. So we've outgrown the building, we're bursting at the seams, and Rooks obviously came up a couple of years ago, and we made a bid for it, and it took us a long time to buy it because it was quite complicated, a lot of people involved. But we have taken on that 11,000 square foot building to move into as a fishmonger poulterer like we are now. All the heat and eat foods as well, but additionally we've created a kitchen grill area and a bar and a seating area for street food to be sold. So that's a new venture for us. So that's our new expansion basically. We are looking to do pop-ups. We're going to probably do sushi events, which is something we do already, but we've always had to use other people's venues, but we can now use our own shop. And you know, eventually hopefully lots of other, you know, we might do cooking classes, we might, you know, learning how to be a fishmonger for a day, you know, all of those kind of things. We've got lots and lots of ideas.
A supermarket and two drive-through restaurants could be built on the site of a former drinks factory in Folkestone. The Silver Spring Mineral Water Facility on Park Farm Industrial Estate was demolished a decade ago. Updated plans to transform the 11-acre site have been submitted to the council. A new paved area in Dartford town centre has proven to be a hit. The makeover of Market Street saw the road and a supermarket car park replaced with paving stones, flower beds and wooden benches. Some have described it as classy, praised the extra seating and say it adds a nice bit of scenery to the town. Others, though, feel the area was more useful as a car park.
Kent Online Showbiz.
The producer of a new movie filmed entirely in Kent says the county has some great locations to offer. Crews have been shooting scenes in Sandwich, Maidstone and Rochester for sci-fi thriller It's Okay to Go Back to Sleep. Sasha Ulorn has been telling us why they chose those areas.
Well, we filmed everything in Kent between the Pfizer factory, Pudding Lane. The scene that we were filming outside would shut down the street. That was the opening scene of the film. So I don't want to give too much details to give it away, but it's basically the opening and the ending of the film. We were looking for an urban industrial area in England, and our location manager, Saul Crockett, he showed us the Pfizer factory, and that really appealed because it was, you know, a science experiment. We saw a lot of production value in the space. It kind of fit the look that we were going for with the film. So it was just for us, it was perfect to be able to take over that area and get the production value that we needed. We filmed a lot around Power Hub, and it gave us the space and the freedom to do what we wanted, and what creatively fit the director's vision. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers was absolutely amazing. Just very emotional. You could feel him in every scene. He really is a movie star. You know, I know he used to be very big, Match Point and Mission Impossible 3 and Tudors and Vikings, but he was brilliant. There couldn't have been a better choice of casting than him for the role. So he was absolutely amazing, and he was our star.
There's no release date yet, but it should eventually be available on Prime Video. And a former Kent footballer is going on Love Island. Ronnie Vint, who previously played for Dartford, will be on the show, which starts next week. The 27-year-old, who was the best man at the wedding of former Love Island star Olivia Attwood and ex-Jules players Bradley Dack, says he wants to find the right person to build a life with.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket, and Kent have lost to Essex in their latest county championship match. They were beaten by an innings and 96 runs at Canterbury and are now bottom of the Division 1 table. Kent have only had one victory out of seven games so far this season. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories directed to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.